This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You better clutch your nuts, honey, because it's time for Squirrel Talk.
Oh, hi, everybody. Hey, squirrels. Hey, everybody out there. Hey, Joanne. Oh, Joanne, you're looking great today. Oh, and Henry. Henry, ooh, did you put on some cologne just for me? Oh, I love it when you do that for me, Henry. Oh, and Tabitha. Oh, Tabitha. Yeah, you've seen better days, but it's okay. I'm sure you'll get better. I just thought I'd reach out and say a couple of hellos to all of you people out there. If you want me to comment about your name in the future, I don't know, send me a message or, you know, actually talk to me. I'm a real person on the other side of this voice. A real person, gosh darn it. But why are they crying? I'm not crying. I should be happy because I have an amazing guest today. That's right. Some would call them a mother. Some would just say that they're on a show that calls people mothers. It's a really cool person. I've known them for quite some time, on and off again, until they moved away to a whole city, like, 8,000 kilometers away from me. This is the one and only, the incredible Toddy. Hi, Toddy.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be here. See, if you weren't on Call Me Mother, which is coming up starts this Monday, the 25th of October, I think.
You got it.
A Monday show. Interesting. I guess they don't like you that much. Okay. No, I love it. Okay, but I'm so excited. Before you were on this thing and you're so famous, I'd just be like, yo, Toddy, what's up? But now that you're famous, I have to be like, oh my God, it's Toddy.
I'd prefer if you didn't.
I know. Okay, so Toddy, you're on Call Me Your Mother, which is a cool new drag reality competition show made by Out TV, which is Canadian, like, cool LGBTQ channel. How are you feeling?
Oh, it is bonkers bananas. Remember when we were just two comedy tweens in the Toronto scene?
Yes.
Not getting paid.
First we were like not getting paid, and then the coronavirus happened, and then I made negative money. So
yeah, well, absolutely. Okay, but honestly, at the time, CERB or whatever was like the most money I'd ever made in a month.
I know. Isn't that the worst? Like I was working my Joe job at the Second City, slinging the phones and all that stuff, doing comedy on the side. And I honestly was making more money from the government.
Yeah.
Is that wild?
I know. I had like 9 hours of sleep. Like my mental health was garbage. My physical health was exceptional.
Right?
Yeah.
So we just got out of CERB, but the pandemic is still lasting and it's still a thing. And Ontario, it's definitely been stretching on. And you got the heck out of Dodge. Were you in Calgary already when the pandemic hit?
I'm not in Calgary.
Oh, you're not in Calgary. Where are you now?
Okay,
I thought you were in Calgary.
No, I know. Everyone does. So I moved to Vancouver like a year-ish before COVID hit. And then at the beginning of COVID, we have like a tiny house in a tiny small town that belonged to my grandma, like 15-hour drive from Vancouver. And when everything shut down, my aunt called us up and she was like, I need to get out of the city. Come with me to Castor, tiny town. Anyway, so we went there for 2 months and then came right back. And to this day, people still think that I live in Alberta. I did like one video with my mom.
Yeah. So that small town is in Alberta.
It is in Alberta. Yeah. But then I came right back. So you right were back. In
Alberta for a hot minute.
For like a vacation.
Okay. So see, once you leave Toronto and you leave the bubble, no one knows. Everyone's like, oh, I think she's in they're in Calgary, you know, doing their thing.
It's the same thing.
Okay. So you're in Vancouver?
Vancouver, yeah.
Oh wow. So you're in the expensive place.
Yeah, okay, but honestly, I find it cheaper than Toronto.
Really?
Well, and people pay you here. Like I get paid to do comedy. Not a lot, but I don't actively lose money most of the time that I go to gigs, you know?
Okay, so you're doing the comedy thing in Vancouver now.
The comedy thing, the drag thing. Yeah.
So you're doing comedy and drag. And so you make money in Vancouver. Do you find like now that you were like trained in Toronto and you went to Vancouver and no one knew who you were, is that a positive thing? Because they're like, oh, you're awesome. Let's pay you.
I am awesome.
You are awesome. But I always find like sometimes, like in the city that you are, no one gives a crap about you, but like everywhere else, they're like, oh, you're cool. You're like international. Oh,
absolutely. When I do go to Calgary, I get treated like a celebrity. Right? Yeah. But
you
also
are a celebrity now. So
look, my Instagram count is climbing. It's almost at 5K.
That's amazing.
I'm only halfway up to a swipe up. Oh no, they took away swipe up. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I think it was easier. I also think that my like self-worth was higher in Vancouver. Because I think I just made the decision right when I got here. I'm like, I'm not going to perform for free. I'm not going to get treated like shit. And that's what I'm going to do.
So Toronto, you came to Toronto from a different place, right?
From Montreal. Yeah.
From Montreal. Did you grow up in Montreal?
I did not. No, I grew up in Calgary.
And
then I went to opera school at McGill. And in opera school, I started stand-up comedy. And then I moved to Toronto to live with my boyfriend. And then literally a week after I moved.
You were straight. You were a total straight person.
Okay. Yeah. According to literally no one except for my boyfriend.
They didn't know.
Yeah, except for I told him literally so many times and he was just like, no. And I was like, oh, you're right.
That's amazing. So when you were an opera singer, you were totally straight. And then you're like, screw this. Because you still do opera, but you went into the comedy field, right?
Yeah. So basically right when I started opera school, I wanted to like act and just do like other things so that when I graduated, I could have some sort of career. And my teacher basically told me that if I did anything other than music, she'd kick me out of the program.
Yeah.
And so that's why I started like improv and sketch, because I could do it and not tell her about it. And then I was dating a stinky boy who did stand-up comedy. He's not stinky, actually. We're still friends. It's fine. I was doing stand-up comedy and I go to all the shows and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can do this better than you. And so I did.
That's amazing. So you totally like, did you put your singing into your comedy, or did you try and stay totally away from that?
It took me a really long time. I think mostly because I was doing comedy like in secret, and I just wanted like those two separate worlds. Like comedy was the place that I could fail. Opera was the place where I had to be like absolutely perfect. And then when I graduated, I like never wanted to sing another note again in my life.
Okay.
But then I got over it, and now it's like my superpower.
Okay, so you got out of school and then you were like, okay, I did all this opera training. Opera is not for me. You were just like, Wagner can go fuck themselves.
Exactly. Well, no, I actually got kicked out of the program.
You got kicked out. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was in third year and...
Did they find out?
They found out, yeah. Yeah, and they were very, very, very not pleased. And I, like, started having so much anxiety, and I had a panic attack in front of my entire class. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, definitely being verbally abused by my teacher, and just, like, no one cared. In fact, everyone, like, actively supported that because they're like, it's the real world. That's what you need to expect from opera directors.
Oh, my God.
Which is a whole thing in itself.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just kind of, like, put my head down. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a 1,000% for my year-end recital, which determines whether you go into fourth year. And so I did my third year recital. I performed the fuck out of it. It was like, I still have it in recording, and like I listen to it sometimes and I'm like, I was 20 and I was like a really, really good singer, and they failed me by 2%. So I 2%. Got, yeah, I got a 63 and I needed a 65, and no one would give me an answer why. They were just like, your tone isn't where we want it to be, which is just like the way you sang. And then I had the decision to like take an extra year and redo it, or just drop down into like a general music or like classical voice program rather than vocal performance and do a year of electives. So I did that. I was like, this is so not worth it. Like, fuck this school. So I did a year of like McGill clown classes, sound recording, acting. It was literally the best year of my life. And I was doing stand-up comedy. I was basically living my life how I am now, just doing like a million things. So when I graduated, it didn't feel like my life changed at all. I was just like already working and performing and writing and doing all this fun stuff. And then, yeah, I kind of just, well, okay. So I started singing, because I started drag, and I had so much, like, I used to get like full body shakes when I had to perform. And then the first time I sang in drag, it was like no nerves, nothing. My voice opened up. It was wild.
So you came back to singing finally after all of the trauma at school, which is hashtag relatable. I think a lot of people can relate with the fact that schools, especially like something that is so elite, like vocal performance, you must do this, like sacrifice your life to the satanic gods or something.
Exactly.
I mean, like, I think that's very relatable, but like, yeah, so you had that trauma and then you didn't want to do the singing until you did comedy and then you finally found your way into drag. And that's probably like what, four years ago?
Drag?
Yeah. Or was it sooner than that even?
Yeah, it was about 4-ish years ago. Cause I started drag after I wasn't allowed in, spaces in Toronto because of our very fun mutual friend who banned me from them.
Oh yeah, the friend who banned people. Oh yeah, yeah, let's not talk about that kettle of fish too much.
Absolutely,
but
we're not going to. But it was a big reason I started drag, because I was like, I need friends. And
no, that's such a contentious issue, because it created an interesting queer comedy scene, but it also created a lot of problems. And
exactly. Yeah, and here's the thing, on record, I never wanted this person to lose their career or like lose what they built.
Yeah.
Like I really loved them and cherished what they did. I just wanted them to stop doing what they were doing to young queer women.
Yeah. I think that's very reasonable. And again, hashtag so trauma. Too. We've done a lot of trauma work in the last 5 minutes we've been talking. So I apologize for that.
I just got a therapist. So I'm just like going to town. I'm like, these are things I'm not over.
Yeah, we don't want to dwell on that stuff. But the big point is that you were doing comedy and then you started to feel like your place in Toronto was falling away and you needed something new. And I think the big thing that you found was drag as this new outlet, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it was just such like a, I think what's really special about the King community and like AFAB performers and stuff is that, like, as much as we've been here since the beginning of drag, there's not that same, like, expectation for us. And so it's just a playground.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's not that kind of, like, you must be fierce and wear boobs and stuff.
Exactly. Like, fit into these one of 12 archetypes and build your entire career off these one of 12 archetypes.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I'm the lady with the big blonde wig and I'm a stupid and comedian.
Oh my God. Okay. Can we talk about how amazing you are though? Like, you're the first, you're the first, like, truly camp performer that I ever saw.
Is that right?
The first person. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the work that I do is like stand up and singing in drag, and I don't see a lot of that. And you were the first person that I saw who did that kind of stuff.
It's risky territory because a lot of people don't want to put themselves into that, I don't know. They just don't want to risk it. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? Cause I mean, it's risky.
Absolutely.
Cause you definitely put yourself into the campy territory.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, I just feel like doing comedy and live singing is camp.
Yeah. So you definitely understand that kind of risk. And now we're just hashtag trauma three times. It's like, oh my God, all the hardships we face in the world.
exactly. Cause are you part of House of Licks?
Yes. The House of Licks. We do Squirrel Talk and, we've been performing for a while. Vicky is the mom, Selena, Chansa, Hugh, yeah, and we do lots of fun things together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all are amazing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So getting back to you, though, the drag started from the comedy also. And, like, may I say, like, when you were in Toronto doing your comedy thing, you were amazing. You were killing it. You were at the theaters, and you were doing stand-up comedy and improv, and just everybody thought you were amazing. I thought you were amazing.
And oh, so I complain, but truly it was the best thing that's ever, I complain because I can, like, it was the best thing I ever did because I, like, made all the contacts that I needed to. Like, there was so much good that came out of Toronto. Absolutely. And there were so many people that did have my back and, like, that were giving me opportunity. So I don't want to dwell too much because I'm very thankful.
No, Toronto is a very, like, difficult place. Like, it's so... Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like there's bubbles, but it's insular, but then everybody kind of knows everybody. And I don't know. It's like big, but small at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
I totally feel you. But then you found drag, and I feel like this whole evolution, you've evolved again, and you've found your singing, you found your voice, your literal singing voice again. You've used your comedy. And you've created drag all at the same time.
Thank you. I practiced my makeup a lot over COVID. I feel like I was such a, for like the first like 2 years that I did drag, I was so good at performing, but I looked like a booger. I was booger city and I was proud of it.
There is nothing wrong with picking your nose. Seriously.
Absolutely not. It's a relief. It's a breath of fresh air.
Absolutely. I mean... There's a lot of fear that goes into looking not perfect, I think, in drag.
Exactly.
A lot of queens and kings and things, they spend so much time in their room perfecting their look. And then they get out in the world and they just kind of don't have a performance. They don't have a gig. They don't have an act.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was also like performing 7 days a week and working 7 days a week. And I was like, I don't have time to practice makeup. So my makeup's going to be what it is every night that I go out. But honestly, I think that's also taught me a lot about, because I think like as a stand-up comedian and as like someone who works to like polish their stuff, I'm always like, oh, this is better now. This is better. And like, I'm going to get better. Do I release an album until I'm better? Do I do this until I'm better? But in that time in my life in drag, like no matter how booger I looked, I thought I was like the hot tamales, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like if you don't walk out the door, how will you even know? I mean,
exactly.
I think even if you walk out the door and you think you look amazing, I guarantee 2 years from now, you're going to look back at that picture and think it's crap. So
yeah, yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Don't worry too much about it. I mean, even yeah. your it's the same thing with, you know, your stand-up sets or your singing or whatever, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Look, wow. We really went through it.
I love it. Okay, so now that you are an amazing drag performer, yes. and you have perfected your makeup, which has changed a lot.
It has changed a lot, yeah. Yeah. Do you want me to talk about that?
Yeah, because you started, I think, at a more drag king place, and now I feel like you're more in like a more clown place or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think I realize that it's really hard to do king very well, and I applaud anyone who does it very well. Uh-huh. And I really loved like super bright colors and like androgyny within it, and so yeah, just painting a white face just allows me to like fuck around with color a little bit more easily. And I think once I get better at makeup and better at putting looks together, I'd like to go more mask. But yeah, I think I've been floating in more of like a really fun androgynous space yeah. recently. Yeah. Yeah. And I love mullets. I love them so much.
Oh, and mullets. Yes. The drag mullet. That's gorgeous.
Yeah. But it wasn't until Toronto that I realized that there's like this, oh no, sorry. It wasn't until Vancouver that I realized that there's such like a rich in the middle space in drag.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Cause I feel like when I started, there was very much like drag queens, drag kings.
Yeah.
And I think more and more folks are taking up drag weirdo.
Uh-huh.
Aesthetic.
Yeah.
Okay, but sorry, you can hear my cat so much. She is just, ooh. She's like, hey, we're playing now, right? You're busy for 1 hour today, so we're playing.
What's your cat's name?
Izzy.
Oh, hi, Izzy.
She's my aunt's cat. She's 13 years old, and she's aww. So active. We realized that she had a clogged anal gland.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah, so we got that dealt with. And haven't we all?
You know, it's been a while for me, but you know, one day I'm sure it'll happen again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's get into your drag. Tell us about your drag. What is drag to you? Is it comedy? Is it performance?
Oh God, you'd think after spending a month talking about myself in interviews that I'd be better at this. But I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just here to have fun.
Oh, that's good. So you're here to have fun. I like that.
I'm here to have fun. Honestly, like I love, like one of my favorite bits to do is opera karaoke, where I get the audience mm-hmm. to sing along with like classic opera songs. And that's cool. Yeah, just do like a switch on what the mainstream is. And truly, I grew up with those songs. So mm-hmm. I'm like, this was my Madonna. Like mm-hmm. Mozart is my Madonna.
Wow.
Yeah. And then just like, I'm like 90% of what I do is live. I will very rarely lip sync unless I absolutely have to, because I hate dancing. Mm-hmm. I know three dance moves and I do them too mm-hmm. much. Yeah. I mean, am I? I don't know. Watch Call Me Mother season one and see.
And of course, you're on Call Me Mother, which was probably a pretty crazy experience. You applied for that and got on.
I did, yeah.
How did you feel when you actually got the call and were like, me? Really?
Yeah, no, literally. I got like scouted, I guess, in December. Uh-huh. Or like I got a message, which I think a lot of us did, to audition for it. Mm-hmm. And I asked them, I was like, are you actually casting AFAB people? Because I don't want to do this and not even like have a chance. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yes, we are fully committed to this. So I was like, okay. Put my audition video together. It was very, very, very silly. And then they asked me to do like this little like sister show. I don't know, like group sexed that okay. show on OTV. And I was like, oh, this is a good chance for me to be like, I can write jokes and I can write them and say them on screen.
Yeah.
So I did that. It was very funny. I don't know. I just made them laugh a lot. And then I got the call in, what was that? April. I got the call in April. Yes. By the time we got our runways, it was, by the time we got like our looks, we had 2.5 weeks before our flight left.
Okay. So you had about 2.5 weeks to prepare.
Yeah, and we got 40s? Our call after Drag Race got their call. So, like, every single wig person, every costume maker, everyone was booked. And as someone who doesn't dance or sew, perfect candidate for a drag TV show.
Oh, my God. Do you know what's so funny is that the climate of designers and stuff in Canada has drastically changed. Like, I go and call, like, somebody and I'm like, hey, can we make something? And they're like, oh, I'm busy. I'm booked until, like, next year. I'm like, because everyone is on these goddamn shows now.
Seriously, yeah. Yeah, and some designers, like, were only allowed to work with certain people. And, like, and it got to the point where I was like, I don't have a lot of money. But I have the money to pay someone. I just need to find literally anyone who will do this. Please take my money. So that was stressful. It worked out so well. My girlfriend, my lovely, lovely girlfriend, had a COVID exposure at work a week before I left, which was like the best thing that could have ever happened to me because they were home for 5 days straight. It was like a low risk exposure.
But you're in present company with them, so you're going to get COVID one way or another if they have
Yeah. Like, luckily, both of us were very safe, but we had like 5 days at home together. We worked 12 hours putting these looks together. We played Mahjong, we smoked weed, we drank a lot, and we fucking glued and sewed everything under the sun.
Wow. So that's very impressive. I mean, definitely as we start to watch the show, we're gonna have to keep that in mind. Like, you worked your butt off only 2.5 weeks. Like, that's impressive.
And my looks were not the most impressive.
Okay, well, I guess we'll have to judge when it comes out. Look, but,
and please do. Please do. I want people to read me.
Read you to filth. Read you to filth. And then your personality is crap and you're untalented. So, ugh.
Exactly. I literally... mess. The package has fallen apart at the Canada Post. I got none of it.
Was this the first time you applied for something like this or like got scouted for something like this?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I knew that I wasn't good enough at the time for a larger drag TV show that we will talk about.
The CDR, the Canada's Drag Race.
Is that what it's called? Okay.
I don't know. I just call it CDR because I don't want to call it Canada's Drag Race. I don't want to give it that dignity. It doesn't deserve it. Sponsored by Shoppers Drug Mart. What the hell?
Well, and when I got on, they're like, oh, did you imagine that you'd get here? And I'm like, no. Like, I've never seen anyone like me. Like, there's been really, really incredible AFAB performers and trans mask folks. But, like, I don't know. A lot of them make art. And I feel like that's a big thing within, like, the AFAB and non-binary community within drag is that, like, a lot of them make art.
Yeah.
And I do not. I make comedy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
There's still like lack of representation because, you know, we all have to be daring enough to go out there. And then there's just the standards, like you were talking about. Like, there's the standard drag queens, you know, there's the 12 standard drag queens. Are you one of them? No? Mm-hmm. Well, then you're a drag king, I guess. Or you're an AFAB performer, which is relatively new. Or androgynous, or drag thing, or alt drag, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. And isn't it so funny, though, that we have all these, like, divisions, even within such a niche thing as drag in the first place?
Right? Absolutely. It's like when people flavor kombucha, it's like, babe.
I know. It's like kombucha. It's does anybody
still drink? Alive water.
Does anybody drink
This is
that?
Actually a kombucha bottle filled with water. Hello.
Are you a kombucha? Are you a kombucha lover?
No, I was so hungover last week. And so I thought that this would be nice. And I kept the bottle as my water bottle because it cannot be trusted. I don't know why. I can keep like a $3 water bottle that I buy for months. But then as soon as I actually pay money for one, it's gone the next day.
So you get the swell and you lose it, or it gets a puncture wound. It just like spontaneously explodes.
You get it. Yeah, so Call Me Mother Season 1 is going to be very cool. Peppermint's on it. Crystal's on it. Barbados on it.
Peppermint, yes.
Like, we had no idea who was involved in it. We knew what we were bringing and that we had a plane ticket.
Yes.
And then we got put into like a tarped van with.
Whoa. Yeah, because you would know nothing. You would be like, I don't know what this is. It's because I think they were calling it the unnamed out TV competition drag reality show or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It was so fun though. And like the cast is, I'm so excited for everyone to just like meet my siblings. Like we all love each other. We talk literally all the time.
Do you have the group text going?
Absolutely.
Group chat? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And so now that you've gotten back and you've done the 8 episodes, or I think it was, how is the anguish of the waiting and like the, all of that?
What do you mean? Until it premieres. Oh my gosh, it was awful.
Yeah, like the waiting until it premieres, or like the fallout of like, oh my God, I did that. I said that this happened, you know, that kind of stuff. How was that?
Wait, like worried about what I said on TV?
Well, all that stuff, like the results, and like, did you get in your head? Did you cry yourself to sleep? Were you catatonic for a week?
Well, I came back.
Yes.
I was really depressed when I came back, but only because it was like still lockdown.
Yeah.
But it was like right when the vaccine rollout started, and I think I was just like, I think I was sad because I have so many things going on. And for the first time in my life, I was one place with one task. And like, people were so stressed out in the show. And I was like, we have one thing to do tonight. That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, I loved it.
So like one thing to do on the show, or one thing to do once you got home?
Oh, like one thing to do on the show.
Yeah.
And then I had to come back and work my 8 jobs and all these things. And I think that was the hardest part. And just like missing my friends. Cause it was such, we got there and we could just like be around people. Like we knew that we didn't have COVID. We knew that we didn't, it was just, it was so special to be like in a room without a mask with people.
Yeah. I bet that just like was nuts.
Yeah.
Like just to be able to be normal for a hot minute in a very weird, not normal circumstance.
yeah, exactly. Oh, but it's happening. Finally, I have no idea what I said ever.
Is it a total blank? Like you can't remember anything?
Oh, you just filmed so much for one episode. Like 3 12 to 16 hour days for 45 minutes. It's like that you could piece together my words to be like, I really love Donald Trump. You know, like, I don't know what they're going to do.
And you're like, I was just talking about euchre. Ugh. Yeah. Gosh darn it. Me and my euchre addiction. Okay, so I'm not going to grill you anymore about the show because I'm sure everyone else has grilled you about it. But I'm just so
pleased. You're the first one. I mean, other than my peers, who's like, who's your mother? Who's your mother? Who's your mother? Is it this person? Who's your mother? Like, literally no one knows.
Yeah. Okay. No one knows anything. Okay, cool. Fair enough. I'm interested to see how this is all going to turn out.
Me too. The first episode is really, really exciting.
Yes. And it's definitely the episode that we know everyone's going to be a part of.
Oh, you did that math? Interesting.
Can you imagine if like you're not on the first episode and it's like, oh, we already got rid of Toddy. Like we had a pre thing.
Exactly. I was only there for the trailer.
It's like, yeah, they didn't pass the trailer. They're done. Let's dive into this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race UK. Not Call Me Your Mother. But
Call Me Your Mother. Call Me Your Mother.
What's it called again? Call me your mother. Daddy. Call me Zaddy or something.
Call me Daddy. Yeah. It's Call Me Daddy Dallas Dixon.
Is that going to be the spinoff? Call Me Daddy.
Absolutely.
So, just like all drag kings, or just, I don't know, porn. Just porn. That's the porn.
It's just porn. Yeah, it's just porn. It's honestly the natural progression. Okay, I took notes for this episode. A bonkers bananas episode.
It kind of was. Like, this is going crazy. There's so much Drag Race. It's so hard to keep up. But this is nuts.
Can I start by saying,
mm-hmm.
that we would have done so well in this challenge.
Oh, you think you would have done well? You're speaking very highly of yourself. I know I would have done well.
Yeah, I know I would have done well. What would you have done as your drag Lexa voice?
Oh, honestly, I would probably stick like very Siri, like kind of like, hello, how are you today? I mean, but or like, because it would be so fun just to have her say awful things like, I'd really like to fuck you today. How are you? Oh, are you doing well today? Maybe you are a basic like a, bitch.
Like a Gigi Good in Snatch Game.
Kind of like that. Yeah. Just like,
oh my God.
Siri saying inappropriate things is really funny.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good morning, you ho bitches.
Exactly. What would your drag Lexa be? Do you have something
mine
else?
Mine would probably be like a Jennifer Coolidge.
Ooh!
You know? Like, hey guys, I guess it's another day. Do you want some fun music? Just like a really sad Jennifer Coolidge on what is it? The new show. Oh yeah,
I haven't watched it, but the new thing she's on, whatever it's called.
The one in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah. She's on a couple of things right now. Okay, so this episode though, okay, it started with we have to talk about a double Shantae.
From
last episode. Undeserved. Do you think it was undeserved?
Yeah, absolutely. They just had to do it for this episode.
Do you think it was just because they needed even numbers for this episode?
I think so.
I kind of think it was for even numbers. They wanted four on a team.
Before we do that, can we talk about Victoria's Gone?
Oh, Victoria's Gone. Gone too soon.
I am so sad about that.
Representing the AFAB community, of course.
Yeah, and just representing good drag for the first time ever.
I'm just so pleased that I have had so many awesome guests on. Like, I've had yourself. I've had Geneva Convention, who was the previous winner of Camp Wanakiki. And first cisgender AFAB drag queen winner of that show.
What?
I know. She won, which is amazing. And then just seeing Victoria Scone on Drag Race UK, I'm seeing so much amazing AFAB and androgynous drag out there right now. Yeah. It's really a moment. So
it's exciting.
It really buttered my biscuit to see her scone gone.
Yeah. See your little scone.
Do you want to sing a dirge or something in honor of Victoria?
A dirge?
You know, an operatic dirge.
What's a dirge?
It's a song you sing at a funeral, like, you know.
Oh, like, oh, Victoria Scone.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
You have a too soon gone.
Oh, too
but
soon.
But we won't forget your face.
Oh.
Pastries on your dress with lace. Did I do it?
I think that was great. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so much. That was Puccini. Stunning.
Signed, sealed, and delivered. That was beautiful. Victoria, R.I.P. R.I.P. Rest in... Well, I mean, she's fine. Honestly, she's
fine. Well, I also just love the fact that she's just like a big old Dykarunsky, you know?
Huge.
And I say that like as a big old Dykarunsky. Yeah, like I love AFAB drag people, especially the lesbians. Ah!
Do you know what really disappointed me? Actually, I haven't talked about this. Was there was no pit crew for Victoria.
Thank you.
Because it was just all hot guys. And I was like, you know, Victoria's in the room too. Can't you get like a busty blonde?
Oh my God, absolutely.
Like,
or even
wrong?
just like a mechanic butch, you know?
Just something. Like, come on, put a lady in there.
Put him into like a white tank, hair slicked back, like L word.
I'm confused. I don't know. It was bizarre.
I volunteer.
You can,
I'm available.
Maybe you can be the next pit crew. That'd be amazing. Okay, so this episode, they start off with a crazy mini challenge. They talked a bit, but it was all just boring. I found it really boring. They were just
It was awful. It didn't make any sense.
It was just emotional garbage and producery and blah. Let's get on with it. So RuPaul comes in and says, here's a mini challenge. Who likes it doggy style? By the way, are you into doggy style or is that your preferred position or?
No.
Okay, perfect. Awesome.
Give me a nice trip and call it a day.
You're into kitty style, right? Right, kitty cat.
Right.
Right, Izzy. Yeah, cute little kitty.
Aww, yeah, Izzy, when she had her anal gland problems, used to lick her butt literally so much to the point where we were like, are we interrupting something?
Oh my God, she's into butts. She's into doggy style. So this is the wackiest mini challenge ever. They are, unless you, are you into puppy play? Like some gays are into puppy play. I assume this is a puppy play thing.
Like maybe, I don't know. So oh, maybe as in maybe some gays are, I am not.
I mean,
sorry, I'm boring lesbian sex.
I don't understand it personally. I mean, I don't know. But yeah, so one of them dresses up as a handler and one dresses up like a dog. And then they have to put the person through this obstacle course and then they dance to some RuPaul song. I thought it was really weird.
It was so weird. And the edit was so messy. It was not... I know that I was supposed to like really engage in watching it, but it was like hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Next.
Okay, but one question. Would you have, if you had to do this, if you were on Call Me Your Mother and they did the doggy challenge, would you have preferred it? I know. I call my mother a dog constantly, so she's
absolutely
used to it. would you prefer to have been the handler or the dog?
I think the dog.
The dog? Because the dogs get to have more fun. I guess.
Yeah, or like Lisa Vanderpump it up, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like that was a perfect Lisa Vanderpump moment.
So I don't know. RuPaul chooses one of these people to win. I don't know how. And they don't win anything interesting. They win a trophy and a dog collar. Okay.
Like what? Yeah. Where's my $5,000 to PetSmart? Like I'd buy so many fish.
So Crystal wins. Crystal and Scarlett. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we get into the real challenge of this episode, which is Draglexa. So they have to market this thing called Draglexa, which is, I don't know, like an Alexa with eyelashes on it. And they have to come up with a way to market it that's fun and interesting. Honestly, they don't get a lot of direction. They just say, market it.
Right? And I mean, I think that's some of the problem I have with Drag Race is that you're set up to fail. And I feel like when you succeed, it's despite odds rather than them actually wanting you to do well.
Okay, squirrels, we're going to take a minute and we'll be back.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. We're back, squirrels. Oh, we just had a nice break. Did you let your cat out? Did you bring him back
in? I don't
know
where she is.
Oh, the cat's gone.
Wow. I lost her. Bye forever.
Always losing the cats. Always. You can never find the cats, as they say, or the clitoris.
Yeah, they say that. No, that's definitely a saying.
Have you found a clitoris at all? Have you ever been able to find the clitoris? I don't even know what one looks like, so.
It's been a treasure trend. Treasure trend. It's been a treasure trend. It's been a big old treasure trend. Have I ever found the clitoris? It's honestly something that people have told me about. And my girlfriend and I are dearly hoping it happens.
Well, you're doing better than me. I never want to see it again.
It's on the inside, right?
I mean, everything I wear is detachable, including my boobs and hips. So I'm sure I can buy one on Amazon.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're doing this Draglexa challenge. Yes. They split into teams. One is led by Scarlett and one is led by Crystal.
Yes.
And essentially they start preparing. Team Scarlett seems like they know what they're doing. They have Cariza on that team. Sorry, Cariza. Oh, my son's going to hate. I always say Cariza.
Chariza. Say it with me three times fast. Chariza.
Like the sausage.
I know, but I think of her as charismatic. I think
like
that's
why. Like her girthy clit. Can we talk about... I'm so
you mean
over...
girthy chit?
What?
A girthy chit? Like Chariza?
A girthy chit? Yeah, people are always like, that's a meaty tuck. I'm like, what about the girthy clits out there?
Right? Like...
Absolutely.
Like, what... like a meaty vagina is a real thing.
It's a real thing.
I have a full-on fupa. Like, come on, what's wrong with that? Come on.
What's wrong? Exactly. It should be celebrated.
What is wrong with a meaty tuck? And Chariza has a beautiful chorizo sausage that turns into a meaty tuck, and that's great.
Oh my God, and she just flat out was like, I have a big penis. I was like, yes. But she didn't say it like that, but...
Well, it was pretty much like that. I think that was a pretty good impression, actually. also, apparently has a degree in, like, advertising and marketing. So I thought that team was on the right track, perhaps.
Right?
The other team, Charity seemed to be the only one contributing. The other three were just sitting back, had no idea. They seemed like a mess.
Yeah.
Fast forward to they're in the room, and they do it.
This is so sorry. Okay, you and I have both made sketch comedy videos.
Yes,
Hillary, yes.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, there is... I think it's like learning how to sew when you go on Drag Race. Like, you should do it a few times by yourself to understand what goes into it.
Uh-huh. And also, like, there... I think some of them, they didn't really get the point. Like, this is advertising and marketing. Like... Yeah. You still want to advertise the product in an understandable and simple way that is comprehensible.
Exactly. Oh. So,
team prepared, Team Scarlet. I thought they were going to maybe do well. They go into the room and it's just... Number one, why did they decide to have people just appear as Draglexa while Draglexa was already on the screen?
And they didn't even change clothes.
I was so confused.
Yeah. No, it was just really bad.
It's like, I was hoping that maybe they would like, maybe do like a filter, like make them look like holograms or something, but there was nothing.
Yeah, it was awful.
So Team Prepared was a mess. And then Team Mess comes in.
Team Prepared is a mess.
And Charity obviously took control.
Yeah.
Thank God Charity did take control, to be honest.
Oh my God. She was getting so much flack.
Because all of the girls were so pissed that Charity was taking control. All of their confessionals were just like, I can't believe that Charity is taking control right now.
Oh my God.
None of them had offered anything.
No. Absolutely zero.
They were just like, we'll do it. We'll just do it. We'll just do it. We'll put on drag.
And they said that. They said that in their confessionals too.
I don't even want to dwell on. So
they were so terrible. And like, okay, for all of our viewers out there, what's it called? When you don't look, you listen, listeners. when you're doing like sketch comedy or something, you need to find the funny in it. And anything you do has to go back to the funny. So why is it? You just like write, it can be like two words why it's funny. And then everything you do has to amplify that. And that's, like, I feel like such a basic rule in comedy. And, yeah. Oh, God. Everyone was so bad.
I've just been thinking, a lot of the time when they've done advertising challenges before on the show, it's been individual advertising challenges.
True.
Like, think of Alaska's red perfume or whatever.
Yeah,
like, red for filth. They haven't really worked together. Or like when they did their political campaigns, it was always themselves.
Yeah. And most of the infomercials have been solo. That's a very good point.
Do you think that that doing this as a group challenge completely messed this up? Like, I don't...
Like, did not work?
Because sketch comedy is, like we were saying, a lot harder than people think it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's a very, very good point. the fact that this was like, yeah, the first time that they've done something like this that I can remember. And that there was no direction for it.
And it's not even just sketch comedy. Like, if it was just a sketch, it could have been funny, but it wasn't just a sketch. It was a sketch that needed to sell. And like, selling is really hard.
Yeah, and they should have just put a template together for them. Be like, this is the, like, fill this in with, like, who's going to do the voice? What are you going to say here? This is your XYZ beats. Whether or not the beats are going to be funny or not, at least they're going to fall into this.
So what did you think of when, later on the episode, RuPaul gets really mad, hates both of the sketches, but then says, you know what, though? I'm not going to get angry at you. I blame myself. I should have looked at your storyboards. I should have given you more help.
I mean, I think that's so fair.
Yeah. I think it's 100% fair. And all the girls were just like shitting themselves. They're like, Rue's pissed off. Rue's pissed off. But I don't think, I think this is a failed challenge on the producer's part.
I think so too. Absolutely. Yeah. I think they were just like, we got a green screen, so I guess we're going to use it.
That's what I think we say a lot on Squirrel Talk is that, yes, looks are really important and they're hard and stuff, but don't underestimate things like sketch comedy. They are much harder than you think.
Thank you. And this is the thing, too, is that we praise looks because the better you get at it, the harder it looks. But with comedy, the better you get at it, the easier it looks.
Oh, good point.
Thank you. Have I made this point on the show Call Me Mother? Yes.
It's just like because you kind of just make it look effortless, but it's like, oh, that wasn't effortless. I was in my room all night.
Yeah, I've actually trained for 9 years to be able to do this. Thank you very much. I know exactly what makes an audience laugh, and I know the structure of all of this. But then you get on stage, and it seems like you're just making it up because you have to have that spontaneity to make the audience laugh.
Yeah, like, do you think I'm this good at interviewing naturally? No, I had to do multiple years of enduring Vicky Licks and Selena Vile talking at me. It was terrible.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Thank you for echoing that. Vicky.
Yeah, I was like, she's too good at this.
You heard it from the mother's mouth. You can call her mother. Or whatever.
Yeah, call me mother.
After we have the scenes, the advertisements, the dumpster fires, whatever you want to call them, we always have this moment in the workroom with one of the girls. And today it's Scarlett and Kitty. And Scarlett's talking about how her mom has CIPD, which is, I guess, a breathing issue.
Sorry. That moment. I thought you meant the moment after their runway. I don't want to be a piece of shit and be like, I loved when Scarlett talked about that. I was mixed up.
It is a Scarlett-heavy episode. Scarlett is the protagonist of this season, it seems.
Really?
The protagonist or the antagonist, but it's very Scarlett right now.
Is a antagonist.
They're definitely a antagonist. I have to give a moment to Kitty's Got Claws for looking like a complete Neapolitan ice cream listening to Scarlett's story about their mom. Because it was just like red beard. Brown face and like white forehead. It was hilarious. It was just like a melting Neapolitan ice cream just listening to this story. It was great. Oh my gosh. And definitely, you know, the mothers are a big takeaway from this season. They talk about the mothers a lot. You must relatable content since you call people mothers on your show, right?
Sure.
Do you call your mother at all?
Or do you my have, real do, mom?
Your real mom?
Oh my God, we talk on the phone like every day.
So you actually do call your mother. So
I relatable. Call my mother all the time. Yeah. Yeah. When she found out I had another mom, you shoulda. It was cool.
And not that we want to do spoilers, let's not go there, but do you have a drag mom before Call Me Mother?
No, I've like hardly ever even had a mentor. Yeah. No, I've learned mostly, it was just like kind of personal choice because I feel like I know how to do a lot of things and I think I need do a lot of things that are not drag.
Uh-huh. And I so mean, you've I feel been like, traumatized by some of your mentors in the past,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like quite a few of them. Uh-huh. So I think if I had a mentor, it would be like a mutually beneficial career person. Is that terrible to say?
No.
Like I have a big, beautiful community and like we support each other, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I think like, mentors don't always last, you know, like you, sometimes no. you don't. They don't work out or, you know.
Exactly. Just... Yeah.
So, but I mean, you're
is
on
that,
call me,
so do you have something to say
mother.
To Vicky?
Yeah, this is calling out Vicky again. So you heard it here from my new drag mother's mouth. Toddy is now my mom. God. Okay. And deal with it. Or Zaddy or whatever you want to call yourself. And
do you call your mother?
Yeah.
If you say your mom's dead, I'm going to be so mad at you.
No, she's not dead. She's just dead to me. No, she's fine.
No, she's fine. That's fine. As good as dead.
I call my mom. I have to call my mom. I'm getting married soon, so I have to call all the time. Yeah.
To your sweet, sweet fiance? Wait, you were engaged a while ago, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, your fiance is so lovely.
Then we, like, had to push it off. And then COVID happened.
Because you hate him? Oh,
yeah, because okay. I freaking hate his guts.
Yeah.
Specifically. No, but then COVID happened, so we had to push it off more. But we're just going to get it done. But yeah, that's crazy, right?
It seems like a good reason to get married, to just get it done.
Honestly, at this point, it's like, can we just get this over with?
I told my girlfriend last night, I was like, please don't propose to me. I was like, that's the last thing that I want.
Not right now. I can't handle it.
I don't think ever.
You know what? Honestly, save it until you like your fame starts dipping down a little bit. That's what Boa did. So, you know.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Shut the fuck up. Wait, is Boa engaged?
Boa got engaged right at like about 6 months after Canada's Drag Race.
Oh my God, I forgot. Because Boa's engaged to Connor, who was on our show.
Who was on your show? It's
oh my God.
It's like the fireworks. Psh,
psh, psh. Oh, Connor is like an angel. Just being able to talk about Connor makes me so happy.
Yes, the Wig Zaddy, Connor and Lucinda are all on the show, right? As the salon experts or whatever they call them.
And Fahrenheit.
Oh, and Farrah was a judge and choreographer, I think, right?
You'll see. Yeah.
Something like that. Well, she's going to talk about that because she's going to be on our other Squirrel Talk for Canada's Drag Race.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah. So listen to that, I guess.
Oh, fine. I'll listen to a podcast. Wow.
And I might have another one of your brothers and sisters on sometime. So
please do. Oh, I can't wait. Okay. I don't want to hear what they have to say, though. Let's keep going. We have so much to talk about.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. So here's a question for you because you're a comedian person, funny person. Scarlett, do you find Scarlett funny?
Like, okay, I feel like, okay, but when she said, I'm not interested in talking, thanks. Like, I feel like she doesn't mean to be funny, but I laugh at her. Is that fair?
I think she's like a gay Harry Potter. Like, that's
the funny
thing. Oh
my God, absolutely. She's also like such an exceptional TV personality. And like, who are we to judge people who make such good TV?
Yeah, but I don't really find people funny who are just like, oh, she has a Cockney accent, therefore that's funny. Is it? Oh, yes. Right, I'm going to go over there and punch that guy in the face. Like, is that funny or is that just like laughing at someone's accent?
I'm sorry, have you never learned the number one rule of comedy? Have a Cockney accent.
Accents?
Yeah. Yeah, accents. Have you heard of them? They're actually really back in now.
Yeah, well, just ask Lawrence Chaney. I mean, Lawrence Chaney!
She literally only won because she's Scottish.
Hasn't said a funny thing in her life, but, well, she's Scottish, so... No.
Well, except for poor Ellie Diamond was like, I'm also...
But Lawrence is actually pretty witty, so...
Oh, Lawrence is super funny, yeah.
Next. Okay, so now we're at the runway. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm so ready. I took notes.
Okay, so we've got Alan Carr, Michelle, and Leanne Pinnock from Little Mix. Very cute.
Oh, is that who she's from?
Yeah, she's one of the girls from Little Mix. So she's just a Little Mix girl. Love Little Mix.
I listened to my first Little Mix song last week.
Yes, you've got the power. Oh, you've got the power. You've got that. That's the only song I know. So
yeah, absolutely. I listen to like Heartbreak City or Heartbeat Anthem. I don't know.
I'm sure it's good. I'll have to listen. RuPaul comes out looking like a glamorous evening gown poinsettia. I thought it was Christmas or something.
A peony? No, not a peony. Oh, no, a poinsettia. Yeah, you're absolutely right. My choir used to sell those. I was, like, triggered.
She's also doing these nude illusions all over the place in cool areas constantly. Oh, it's really neat.
Right? I feel like she learns one new thing about, like, costuming or wigs, and she's like, that. I will wear illusions. A white wig until there are literally none available.
Okay, so the runway is expanny, honey. So the looks are supposed to look expensive, I think. Is that what you got out of this?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is an expensive look to Toddy? What does expensive? Yeah. Oh. What would Toddy do for expensive?
I would have probably done like a piggy bank.
Yes.
Like a cracked open piggy bank.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Because you're so right. Because expensive... The definition of expenses is money. So it has, there's something about the look has to be about money, right?
Yeah.
Or like assume it's money. Okay, cool.
What would have you done?
I love that. Expensive, you know, let's just say I would have done the Monopoly Man.
Oh my God.
Looks like the Monopoly Man except drag. That would be fun. Like top hat and everything. And then the beard moment.
Well, and that's the thing. I feel like runways have been losing their concepts. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can get away with so much if you have a really high concept.
And that's so true. But we both, I think, have very camp minds. Like,
it's true.
When it's like, do an expensive look. It's like, oh, let's do something stupid and it's camp and it's amazing. But some people don't think that way. And we definitely see that on the runway.
Everyone's seen a beautiful gown, so you're going to be red for it. Whereas no one's seen the Monopoly Man on Drag Race. So they can't be like, that's bad, but we have nothing to hold it to. So good job.
You know what else I might have done is just like I would have come out in just a basic dress, but it would just have the tag on it, and it would just say a big price, and then I just have the receipt, and I'd be like, this dress was actually really expensive. I know it doesn't look like it, but
that's so funny. That's so funny.
You know, like at Holt Renfrew or something, you walk in and it's like, how much is this handkerchief? And they're like, $450. And you're like, what are you talking? You're like,
I'll get none. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so first up, we've got Ella Vidae coming out in this luxurious black contoured gown and this piled up old lady hair.
Yeah, it
looks
fine.
Really boring, really basic. And then she turns around and there's just jewels going down her back, which is very only good part of that look, in my opinion.
I would have loved if it was like a full open back and she was just naked.
You wanted to
sell
her body?
I was really waiting for that.
You want her to sell her body or something?
Absolutely. It was so much funnier.
I don't really like it. I mean, I get the expensive thing when she turns around, it still kind of just looks like dollar store ornaments all over her back.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the thing with most of it, like most of these runways. It was like, I know you can get those on Amazon.
She did look old though, old and glamorous. So I guess, like, you know, as they say, the old people have all the money. So
she looks
like
40.
She looked much older than that. She looked like she was 60. Like it was straight out of like a 50s magazine or something, which would make her what? 90.
Wait, oh my God, what was that? What was that movie with like the detective and like the piano key kept playing? Knives Out. Yes, was it Knives I remember Out? The okay. old lady in that.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was just at like literally five jackets that were fur.
I feel like
that's also maybe what I would have done.
Yes.
Or yeah, like murder money
on the Orient Express or something like that.
Yeah.
Like
the Countess. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Very like crude. I'm wearing all of my expensive things and I don't care. And they're passed down.
You know, Clue, the movie Clue with Tim Curry and stuff.
Yeah.
I love the opening music to that song, that show, that movie. Anytime I have a reason to play that, I'm happy. So
absolutely.
I don't know why I'm talking about this. Okay, so Ella.
Okay, yeah.
Ella, I'm going to give this look a cut. Now we nut looks or we cut looks.
So it's either cut or squirrel?
No, nut or cut.
Nut or cut. Okay, cut. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think this is just a cut. The back reveal doesn't save it. It doesn't work for me.
Can I squirt?
What's a squirt?
Like squirt, but squirt.
Oh, because you don't want a nut. You want a squirt.
Yes!
I love it.
Okay. Oh my God. No squirrels for me.
Toddy has created an amazing new term for us on the podcast. For AFAB performers and ladies and people who squirt, we now are going to call it squirting. Okay. I love this.
Yeah. There's very little I'm squirting on, but let's okay, go through
so,
it.
So this is a cut. This is not a squirt.
Yeah.
Okay. Now Scarlett comes out in a white suit, with some fur and a pimp cane and some like Miranda Priestly hair. What do you think?
I loved it.
Love it?
Mm-hmm, I loved it so much. Okay, hated how much I loved it.
What do you
love about it? Oh, I just loved like it looked expensive and it looked New York and it looked like okay, but I feel like she could have gone more like Cruella with it.
Right. Okay.
And she absolutely should have kept the chain or the cane and then had like big jewelry on her hands.
Right. So do you think she, like the explanation of the money or the expensiveness is just that she played kind of like old rich lady?
Yeah, like I love the idea that this old woman's a pimp.
Right. I think the character sells it. Like I really like this look.
Yeah.
And I'm all about a character. So even though I don't love Scarlett sometimes, I like this look. So this is enough for me.
I'm mildly squirrelting over it.
Okay. So a mild squirrel. Okay, perfect. It's very Monopoly Man. I could see this happening.
Yeah.
So Kitty's got claws. Do you want to talk about Kitty's look? The nude illusion? It's like kind of a nude illusion. It didn't necessarily work because you could see the neckline. And she's got paillettes and little gold coins all over the place.
Yeah, it felt like when you crack open your piggy bank and you're like, I thought there was more in here. There just like wasn't enough. Like you can you could go like to Sirens, you know?
It was kind of
like
just
the
like
Mac store.
A basic bodysuit with a couple of things attached to it, but not enough, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, when you owe your friends and you're like, this is on me. And then you see the check and you're like, oh, it's not on me. Like, that's what this felt like.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that might have saved it, though, for me was just the fact that she had the gold coins all over it. I thought that was really camp and really silly.
It was fun. It was fun.
So I guess I would give this... I'm going to give it a mild nut, like just barely a nut. Those gold coins saved it.
I'm going to give it just like a tiny tree cut.
Okay, perfect. So like you're giving it a cut. I think that's balanced. It's a little bit. I don't know. But it is very like Money Penny, James Bond or something.
It's fine. Just
so boring. Teresa. I love Teresa. Yeah. And I kind of think this look is cool. It's a gold cowgirl.
Okay, it was also the only look with a concept.
Concept.
Yeah.
Gold rush.
Yeah, she took the idea and said, look, I don't have enough money to buy myself an evening gown, so I'm going to be smart. And she did the gold rush. I thought it was fantastic. The belt? Oh, mwah.
I know. And it had the detail with the bull belt, gold, fringe, jacket and everything. And it's all gold color. And yeah, it's like, I think I get gold rush from this. And also, absolutely. I think it's really funny, the idea of this Latina Spanish woman going out to, like, I don't know, California or something in this gold jacket, right? To participate in the gold rush.
Absolutely.
I think the one thing that could have amped it up would have been like if she would have come out with like a literal money bag or something. Yes. Or a shovel, just to sell the story a little bit more.
Yeah. Like a money bag as a purse, and then like, yeah, that would have been great.
Because like when she told me the story, this happens a lot with Teresa. Yes. When she tells me the story, I'm like, yes. But I don't necessarily get it right away when she hits the runway.
Yeah. I love her so much, though. So I'm just like, outfit or not, I'm squirting all over her.
Yeah. It's a nut.
Take a deep breath, because I am squirting.
It's a soft nut. So Crystal comes out in a fully Swarovski'd bodysuit, which is transparent, with another bodysuit underneath, which is a full female nude illusion bodysuit. Or something like that. It was so sexy.
You think so? I was bored.
But that's a good point, because this, it's very, what Crystal has shown us a lot of looks that look the same.
Yeah. And that's, this was exactly the same. All and her Crystal's shoes. Looks, did you see her shoes?
Everything is crazy.
No. Her shoes were garbage.
Were they bad?
Okay. Oh my God. They were just like beige strappy heels.
Oh, she didn't have shoes.
She didn't have shoes for it. It was so bad. I feel like the shoes could have redeemed it. Like big crystals on the shoes or something. Like, but the shoes were not the one.
Well, I will say this. If their bodysuit was actually covered in Swarovskis, like actual Swarovskis, that bodysuit is really expensive. Like,
yeah, we know she has money.
Yeah, but like ridiculously expensive. So I guess it is expanny, Henny. But she's so one note. All of her looks look the same. Yeah. I've been saying this the whole time. She is stunning, but stunningly basic. And I want to see something different. I need something different.
And like, we've seen beautiful queens. Like, I think Aquaria is such a good example of someone who's just like polished, beautiful, perfect. Also definitely came from money, likely. But like, she really fucking proved herself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can't survive on just your looks. They definitely help. And money is such a fun game that some people play. She just really needs to show us why she's, show me why you're there.
Show us more. Show us a different silhouette, for Christ's sake. It's a beautiful silhouette, but if you're just a look queen, we need looks. So up next, I cut this. Do you cut it?
Oh, absolutely cut. Yeah,
it's a little basic.
Yeah, cut River. Down the forest. Bye. I hate nature. River.
Up next is River Medway coming out in this red and gold East Asian inspired. I don't know. Like, it's like just a glamorous look.
She was so beautiful
with the silk. I don't know if it's actually silk, but it looks nice and beautiful. And
it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Her hair too. And just like, she looked like a fucking princess.
Yes. It's very princess. And I don't, you know, a lot of times they always mention things like, well, good for you showing off your culture. It's like, what about her culture? She's British. Shut up. But but no, I do understand what they mean. But no, this look still looks very expensive. Like, it's just this silk embroidered thing. And she looks like a princess. And that's not
this is
cheap.
What she spent all her money on.
Exactly.
1,000%. And it was so worth it. She looked so beautiful.
And she still took the time to show us her culture. That's what I want you to say. So it's like, River Medway's total nut for me. What a gorgeous look.
I am nutting. I am squirting.
You nut and squirted? Oh my goodness. Yeah,
I know. I can do hard things.
You better check yourself down there. My goodness, there might be a lot going on. It's like a blister or something.
Oh God. It's bleeding.
Oh, and here we are. Okay, here comes Charity Case. Oh, wow.
Oh my God. This look was one of my favorite things that I've seen. It was perfection. Mm-hmm. Everything went so well together. The detail. I just want to do mushrooms and stare at it, you know?
Right.
Like, I think I learned things about the world.
The evil tooth fairy, jewel fairy, whatever it is.
Oh, God.
The bodice is encrusted. The horns are encrusted. Everything's encrusted. She's got the wings.
And this is what I, don't love about Drag Race anymore is the fact that, looks like this should save her.
Right.
You know, and I feel like the looks don't even, people spend so much money on them and they don't even matter anymore.
Yeah. Why does a look like Crystal's when it's stunning, but it's the same old, save Crystal, but a look like this, which is stunning, exactly. But it's not Drag Race, quote unquote, or Glamazon, not save Charity?
That's a good question. We could ask that question about a lot of things on Drag Race.
Yeah.
And I think it's, yeah.
Did understand what the judges were saying, that Charity has been showing us a lot of ugly face constantly. And I do think that Charity is a little bit one note at times, just like Crystal. Like, these drag competitions, I think, are all about changing yourself up. Like, mm-hmm. showing them multiple sides of yourself.
I mean, she looked beautiful in the challenge.
Well, I agree. But yeah. I want to see more than one aspect of yourself. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, at least once. Like,
mm-hmm. which we
that's
saw.
Why, that's why I'm reading Crystal Versace to filth. Despite the fact she's beautiful, mm-hmm. I'm like, no, Crystal, we need more. Get ugly. Yeah. Get a different silhouette. Something else, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Charity's look, I mean, it's impeccable. It's gorgeous. It's a total nut for me.
Squirt the house down. Flood it. It's flooded.
Finally, we have Vanity. Comes out in a beautifully matched bodysuit. Nude illusion, just dripping with jewels. I thought this was gorgeous.
I thought so too. And I think the fact that she was like a chandelier... The concept sold it for me.
Yeah.
I think it actually would have looked more expensive if it was against a black bodysuit. Just to have that contrast. I thought the jewels kind of blended in a little bit. Does that make sense?
I mean, I like the idea that the jewels are just dripping off her naked body and it's cute.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. But it's so hard to do that effectively.
I think she was pretty good. The matching was pretty good. So, it's one of my favorite looks that she's worn. My one problem is that her goddamn wig is the same every week.
It's true. It's true.
The same red finger wave thing.
Yeah.
I just want her to change it up a little bit.
I know.
This is one of my favorite Vanity looks from the neck down. So I'm going to nut it. But I want to see different hair next week. I really do.
For the concept, and I love a concept, I'm going to nut it.
Work. And the concept
I'm
is
not
going
to squirrel, but I'll allow a nut to be in my presence.
Okay. So you nut it, but you don't squirrel it. Well, amazing. Okay,
I'm not going to get excited about it, but I understand its importance.
So those are the runways. And now we just have to talk about what happens. There are no winners for the challenge. So that means everybody is up for elimination. Everybody is potentially in the bottom. And so RuPaul essentially asks the girls who should go home and why.
Yeah.
And one by one, essentially everybody says Scarlett or Charity. And I think Charisa says Vanity. Probably because Teresa's being clever and she's just like, I'll just say somebody else so I can save face. Clever. I would have done that too. I'd have been like, no, I'm not getting to this mess. No, I'm just going to throw it at Vanity. She can take it.
Yeah, she can. Yeah, absolutely.
let's not go after the touchy girls. Vanity is fine with this. But wow, Charity and Scarlett both went mental after being called out by all their sisters.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, so now we're at the point where Scarlett was like, I'm not interested in talking, thank you, and then just stormed off.
Okay, we don't want to do any reveals, but, like, did you have any tense moments when you were on Call Me Mother?
Yeah.
Yeah? So you're just like, PTSD.
And I don't think people realize, like, how intense it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, you're put into this very intense situation with, like, very, like, no contact to the outside world, no support when you go back to your room. Like, it's, it is isolating. And, I mean, so I was fine.
You can really get in your head, like, really, really, really crazy.
So, yeah, exactly.
Charity definitely takes it a little bit better, but she's pretty miffed. And Scarlett goes full on mental and like leaves the room.
So yeah, Scarlett is not okay. And I think she's what? She...
Uh-oh, somebody died.
Oh my God. Nobody will be squirting in this house tonight. Okay, how old is Scarlett?
I think she's in her mid-20s.
Is she?
I think it's 25 or 26.
She's not one of the 19-year-olds? No.
No.
Oh my God, I thought she was a baby.
No, she's not. Wait, maybe. I don't know.
Well, like, this is why I feel like people, before they go onto shows, need to do hard things.
Right.
You know? And, like, prepare yourself for how hard it is to be in this much, like, stress and tension and, like, all of that stuff. And I just don't feel like she had any of the coping mechanisms for it. She's probably been, like, praised and celebrated. And also, okay, I think this is also a conversation that we need to have within, like, the drag community, is that, like, we work and work and work and work and work our careers for these opportunities, but, like, this is not what it's about. Like, at the end of the day, the viewing parties is what drag's about, and, like, the community that comes together for it is what it's about.
As Trixie Mattel always says, the real race starts after Drag Race.
Exactly. Exactly.
We have Scarlett and Charity in the bottom, and they get to sing Shirley Bassey's take on Big Spenda.
I mean, that was a great lip sync.
Classic drag song.
Classic.
Did you like the lip sync? Was it your style? Did you love it?
Oh my God. I would watch Charity perform all day. I thought she did such a good job. I mean, like, Scarlett's pretty when she performs. She definitely had a better lip sync than last week.
It was just kind of, I thought it was very disappointing because last week we had Scarlett and Charity in the bottom. They were both saved, and now we're just back here again. We have Scarlett and Charity once again in the bottom.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I feel like they also kind of did that on purpose.
Yeah, but what a waste, like, of an episode. Yeah. What a waste of an episode. Couldn't we have had Veronica Green on here or somebody, or...
Right?
I don't know.
We love Veronica.
So Charity gives us full... evil fairy camp.
Yes. Scarlett,
and Scarlett turns it out, I think, as RuPaul's Drag Race drag queen would. And I think that was the difference. Scarlett Shantae's. Do you agree with that?
No, but I feel like that's, like, super subjective.
It's
like talking to my family about politics.
That's very true.
Being like, we're just not going to be on the same page about this.
Charity is the Bernie Sanders of drag. She's not for everybody.
But those who love her.
But those who love her, love her. She might be a little extreme for your tastes, but, well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So Charity sashays away, and we've lost our super alternative drag queen on the show. We've lost our AFAB drag queen. We're beginning to lose all of the diverse ones. We're starting
what's
to.
What's the point?
Yeah, we're just ending up with the pretty white twinks.
Absolutely.
Guess that's. Oh well, at least next week is Snatch Game.
I'm so excited for it.
Yeah.
Who would you play in Snatch Game?
Oh, well, I can't say. Well, if I'm ever on the show. But I do a really good Margaret Atwood.
That's so funny.
Exactly. Just what I was saying. But the thing is, I'd like to correct you on your point.
Oh my god. Wow. I would do Putin.
You do Putin, Vladimir?
Absolutely. Yes. A big dog and that's it.
Yes. I love it. Oh yes. My god. Well,
I will put big lady in front of me into tiny test tube, and I will put big hockey player into also test tube, and I will mix them together, and there will be no drag, because we do not drag in Russia, and we will shake them up and make mega baby who win every Olympic.
And then you just ride off into the sunset on a horse.
Absolutely. I eat 12 egg day. He eats 12 eggs a day.
I would definitely just bring eggs to the set and just start eating them, or like cracking them into a glass. And then I would definitely have a little horse prop that I could ride around on.
And he swims for 2 hours a day.
He swims for 2 hours
a day? He swims in a lake in Russia for 2 hours a day. He literally, you should see his daily schedule. And then he does karate every day.
I'm sure he also slays a dragon every day and rides a nuclear bomb and has sex with at least three women. And
okay, here's the thing. I just don't think he actually runs any of Russia. I think he's so controlled by like the Kremlin and the Russian mafia that they're just like, hey, you just make the policies that will make sure that you never leave and you do your thing. And he's like, okay, I have fun guy who comes do karate, you know? And that's so
he's just the figurehead at this point. Interesting.
Absolutely. Yes. Wow. And he's like, fun game, drug him. You know? It'll be fun game. Like, I think he's just out for the lols.
Well, I love that. Okay, Toddy. Well, we've had an amazing chat here on Squirrel Talk. I'm so excited for your debut on Call Me Mother. Do you want to shout out to the children where they can find you on the socials and stuff?
Yeah, I am full-time Toddy, because I'm Toddy full-time across every social media. Follow me on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. I will have a website one day. Email me your butt. You know, Toddy is in the hot drink. You got it.
Amazing. And I have, of course, been Hillary Ass of the Squirrel Talk people. Make sure to check out our other podcast on Canada's Drag Race with Vicky and Selena. They're going to have Fahrenheit on, I believe, this week. Also from Call Me Mother, Star. Next week's going to be Snatch Game. I'm so excited for Snatch Game. Toddy, do you want to take us out with a little bit of your lovely operatics?
That has been the end now. Squirrel Teen does a good job. Okay, bye.
Bye, Squirrel. See you next time.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.